From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Lynn Neary. Quick, you've got 60 seconds. What can you do with it? Anything interesting, impressive, beautiful? How about listening to a complete musical composition? If you've got an hour, you can hear 60 of them on the new CD, Don't Panic, 60 Seconds for Piano. Guy Livingston is the pianist. A few years back, he sought out composers willing to create piano solos that would last a minute. With a few exceptions, like William Bolcom and Louis Andriessen, the composers are unknown. Livingston now has about 200 of these compositions, which he can choose from for his live programs, and he joins us in Studio 4A to perform some of these 60-second miracles. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Now, Guy, how did you come up with this idea of commissioning 60-second piano solos?
This is a project which goes back now, I'd say, almost 6 years. It's something I conceived of when I was in Holland at the conservatory finishing up my doctorate. And I was playing the Ives Concord Sonata, which, as you know, is the total opposite. It's 45 minutes long, and indeed, if you play it slowly, it's 55 minutes long. And I wanted to do something which would be kind of an antidote to that. And a friend of mine had just composed a 30-second opera.
A 30-second
opera? 30-second opera. It was more as a joke than anything else, but quite dramatic, with including a costume change for one of the performers. And I thought, well, maybe that's the answer. That would be the perfect opposite. So I started asking composers if they would be willing to write a one-minute piece. And the response was overwhelming. And over the next 3 years, I accumulated close to 200 works from every corner of the globe, from every type of composer.
Did you pay them anything?
Each composer got a bottle of Jack Daniels as a little reward for their work.
Now, you did have some people say, some composers did say no.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I got a wonderful rejection letter from Pierre Boulez. But by and large, most composers said yes. I think people were intrigued by the idea of working with this very, very difficult time constraint.
Why is that, do you think, a compelling idea for composers to work within that kind of very tight time constraint?
Well, I don't know. I can see the appeal myself. I mean, Stravinsky was always quoted as saying, great art likes chains. And it's true that throughout history, many composers have sought out particular systems or worked within particular contrapuntal systems or musical construction systems or serialism in order to kind of limit themselves and at the same time to express themselves. So I think this is just another limitation which can be exploited to then find kind of sound worlds that are very miniature, that are very tiny, that can be absorbed by the audience in a very short period of time. And it's effective that way.
Well, let's hear one of the compositions. Why don't we start with a piece by William Bolcom?
This is called A 60-Second Ballet, and then in parentheses, For Chickens. William Bolcom wrote this for me based on the cartoon character of Clara Cluck. It's actually subtitled In Memoriam, Clara Cluck. And it's a parody of a well-known ballet that I think you'll recognize.
And you can hear those little chicken feet at the end. And the ballet being parodied, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake.
Yes.
What can a composer really convey in 60 seconds?
Well, maybe nothing. Maybe a lot. The secret is not necessarily to try to develop something in the sense of, the sonata form or the ABA form or any of the more classical forms. The pieces that seem to work very well are the ones that have one specific idea, which is powerful enough to hold it through. And in the case of the piece we just heard, it's the parody idea. And other pieces that work well contain some kernel that you can express in a short time and then maybe surprise the audience at the end or overwhelm them with noise or with power or with sadness. There's a lot you can get in. There's a lot you can cram into that small space.
Can you give us an example of what you're describing right now?
Yes, I can. The next piece we're going to do, the Louis Andriessen, it's a nostalgic piece. It's a sad piece. Of all things, it's actually a theme from Stravinsky's Le Sacre, which is played very, very, very slowly. And while I'm playing it, I'm humming. And I'm humming along with it as if, let's say, it were a tune that I remembered from the past. This is this kind of nostalgia that goes with it. A real sadness, almost a desperation. It's purposely meant to be done by a pianist who is not a professional singer. Once I got in trouble with the composer at the premiere because we had a professional singer, and he said, "That's not the idea at all. I want you to sing it, even though you don't have the voice for it, but that's exactly the point." There's something very poignant about that. The other aspect of that piece, and you'll hear it in some of the other pieces on the disc, is that time becomes enlarged and stretched. And many people listen to that piece and they say, "That was like 5 minutes long." Huh. And they're wrong. But it's because time changes in the hands of a good composer.
Let's hear it. Now tell me again what the voice is supposed to be.
For me, this is in a way a picture of a composer. When I perform it, I feel like in a certain sense, I am him or possibly I am Stravinsky. I'm humming this tune, which is maybe going to become something later, but it's not yet, has not yet gelled. It's vague and fluid. It's this wonderful sense that there is something behind in the past and something in the future, but the present is really not quite there.
So it's almost like the story of the composition being made as you're listening to it.
Yes.
Now, while these we're referring to these as 60-second compositions, in fact, some of them go just a little over 60 seconds, and some of them are way under 60 seconds.
That's right.
And I wanted you to play one which is 21 seconds long, and it's by someone named Quetzalcoatl. Music by Quetzalcoatl, played by pianist Guy Livingston. Guy, who is Quetzalcoatl?
Well, this is a funny story because Quetzalcoatl is a cat who belongs to a composer named Morris Cotel who lives in New York. Part of the initial stages of getting these pieces together, I was running a magazine at the time, and we organized a little competition to try to get works from composers we hadn't heard of who might be interested in this project. And one of the pieces that got sent in was this, and it was called Peace, and it was marked Quetzalcoatl. And there was a note with it, which I, as the presiding member of the jury, chose to suppress, and I presented the piece to the jury. And the jury selected this as very interesting. They said, "Oh, we really like that. You know, that's like," it made it to almost the final cut. It didn't make it to the top. But it was very close, and people kept remarking on that. You know, it's sort of Webernian simplicity, and was it 12-tone? And one of the composers took it home, who was on the jury, and he tried to find out if there was a tone row in it. There's not. And he said, "It sounds like there ought to be, but there isn't." And so at the end of the judging, I informed the jury that this piece had been written by a cat. According to Morris Kotel, it was his cat who wrote the piece one morning walking down the quays. And the jury was delighted and decided to grant it an honorable mention.
And did the cat get a little bowl of whiskey?
I didn't think of that.
You didn't?
Oh. Well, we'll have to take care of that now.
All right. Now, there are some pieces on the CD that are just too hard to do live. So we're going to play one piece here now from the disc. It's a piece by Moritz Eggert.
Moritz is a friend of mine living in Germany. He's a composer who's very experimental and constantly seeking out new sonic worlds. And when I sent him a description of this particular project, he was thrilled and he said, I'm going to do something no other composer has done for you. And I thought, yeah, sure, you know. And indeed he did. And what he did was he wrote 60 pieces, each lasting 1 second long. And the reason we're not going to try to do this live is that I have to announce the pieces as I perform them. And it's incredibly chaotic. And so things are flying everywhere because not only that, I'm also playing a few notes inside the piano and I have a rattle and several small devices which I use to prepare the piano and a little whistle as well. So it is a hair-raising, death-defying performance.
All right, let's hear the CD version.
Prologue. Prelude. Overture. Twinkle. Fishy. Song. Uprising. Homage to Glenn Miller. Wah, wah. Downfall. Empty. Memories. Love story. Soldier's tale. 1 second waltz. All good things. Aria. Erawaka. Gallop. Elegia. Dusk. Curiosity killed the cat. Finnegan wakes. Dawn. Jumbo. La Traviata. Onosona. Serenade. Requiem. 60 notes per second. Concerto Grosso. 1 second. Cadenza. Civilization. Advanced civilization. Hymn. Study. Easy Rider. Absolute. Fragment. Interlude. Peep Show. Effrontem. Dialogue. Effrontem. Forgive me not. Forced laugh. Ha ha ha. Pattern. Far out. Toccata. Mystic. Scherzo. Pastoral. Jeu. Rondo. Variations. Les adieux. Finale. Epilogue. Private reception.
Now, when you first heard that, did it include the spoken word when you first heard the composition? Did he submit it that way?
Well, I didn't hear it. He sent me the score, and I said, this is unplayable. And I remember most of the recording session was taken up just getting that on tape. But it's tremendously exciting, and over time, I am learning it attempting to memorize it so that I will be able to perform it in really all its glory and even faster and faster because ideally, I think that's 73 seconds and ideally I would get it down to exactly 60.
And there's also a composition that uses, how shall I describe it? A rather unusual aid to the instrument, and that would be the piece by Annie Gosfield. It's called Brooklyn, October 5th, 1941. First of all, tell us who she is and the significance of that date, and then you can tell us how you play it.
Annie Gosfield is a Brooklyn-based composer. She was not at the particular game that the date refers to, but that was the disastrous game in the history of the Brooklyn Dodgers. They almost won the World Series that year. And what happened was that one of the players dropped the ball in the last inning, and the newspaper headlines the next morning read in like 3-inch high letters across the front of the New York Times, Brooklyn's millions plunged into darkness. That's how intense the rivalry was for the series. And it was this game that inspired this piece. And the piece is performed with two baseballs, which I use both on the keys and inside the piano. And for the first first two-thirds of the piece, you'll hear them on the keys being used to create a tremolo effect, sort of a drrrr. And then at the very end of the piece, I actually stand up and I reach inside the piano with one of the baseballs and I roll it along the very, very bottom string in order to get a kind of effect, which is kind of unexpected. And especially when you see it live, it's arresting.
All right, let's hear that.
Thank you.
You know, I'm wondering, as a musician, is it satisfying to play these kinds of brief pieces, or do you sometimes sort of yearn to play something longer, maybe fuller?
Well, let's say that in parallel, I'm working once again on the Ives and on a series of sonatas by George Antheil. And the Antheil sonatas, particularly the later ones, are upwards of 30 minutes in length. So I make sure that I sort of keep both sides of my brain happy that way. I couldn't just do this program. It's an exhausting program because when you perform it live, you're constantly switching moods very, very fast, and you have to be almost thinking several pieces in advance of the one you're actually playing. But it's fun, and it has a huge appeal for me in many ways. But I also, I mean, in terms of, you know, intellectual depth and breadth and so on, I try to make sure that I'm also doing some very sort of heavy, meaty works. I'm, you know, working a lot of Beethoven right now and other stuff that makes sure, you know, that there's a good kind of compensation as well.
But you're still looking for those 60-second pieces even as you're doing that.
Oh, absolutely. I don't really have to look for them, though, anymore. They just keep coming in. People keep sending them to me, which is very exciting.
Guy Livingston, his CD, Don't Panic, 60 Seconds for Piano, is on the Vergo label. And a portion of the proceeds from the sale of that CD will go to Doctors Without Borders. He joined us here in Studio 4A for a recital. Thanks so much for being here, Guy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.